Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Are you taking part in the riots? That's the name of the message today. Was your picture in the paper or online somewhere? Are you part of the rioters? Luke 15. And we'll begin in verse 10.
Hearts through it, Lord, that you might expose our weaknesses, expose our confidence in ourselves, expose all the things that would draw us away from you, Lord. Help us to rid our those things in our lives, Lord, that are not profitable, that draw us away. Lord, help us draw close to you today, Lord. We thank you for your promises, especially ones that
Amen. Luke 15, verse 10. Luke chapter 15, and beginning in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with what? Riotous living. You know, I think for the most part, most Americans are just sick and tired of all the rioting going on. Been going on for months now. The liberal news media has tried to justify it as peaceful protest, and in the background you can see the cars burning and the buildings burning, and you think that wasn't the smartest backdrop to use if you're going to try to put across the propaganda that these are peaceful protests. The liberal politicians have tried to justify it as peaceful protests have hindered their own law enforcement officials from stopping the riots until they surround their condo or their apartment building. And then they call down and tell the police, hey, declare this a riot and get rid of them, will you? Just hypocrisy is what it is. Every time there's a every time a police officer is involved in a shooting, there's a riot that breaks out. They justify it. They don't care what really happened. So many people with their cell phones are quick to take video, and then it only shows you a small portion of what really happened in any given instance. So I think most Americans are just sick and tired of the riots and would just wish the National Guard were dispersed and forcefully stopped the rioting. What is happening in this world? Well, if you notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's just one more thing. We had the coronavirus, the COVID instance, which is still dragging on. We've had the certain bodies of water, rivers turning red. We've had the locust plague in India and along through that swath down over into Iran over there. What's happening? The world is being prepped for the tribulation period. That's what's happening. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in what? The last days. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What is happening in this world? We're living in the last days. That's what is happening in this world. And it said in verse 1, it's going to be perilous times. The word perilous means exposure to the risk of being injured, destroyed, or lost. dangerous. Doesn't that describe the riot conditions out there? That definition was from Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. But once again, exposure to the risk of being injured. You go into a situation, one of those riot situations. I saw on a news note that came in, it was a former Navy SEAL, and he had some advice on what to do in these riot situations, how to protect yourself. I was expecting, you know, some secret moves, you know, with your hands or feet, you know, how to take down, you know, people like Samson did. And what did the first thing he say? If you're coming in your car and you see a crowd up there that looks like those type of people, turn around and get out of there. I thought, well, I don't have to be a Navy SEAL to know that. I think, come on, you're disappointing me. I thought he was going to go in there and just, you know, pick up a jawbone of an animal and just take out, you know, 1,000 of them. But he wasn't into that, I guess. So, but my heart does go out to the police officers who go out there every day and risk their lives. And mayors and governors are trashing them. Politicians are trashing them. And they're exposing themselves to great bodily harm. Or death. And my heart goes out to our police officers, and we need to really pray for them. They're put out on the front line, and I mean, how many of you men, if you make a mistake at work tomorrow, will probably go to jail for it? Well, probably not. In your line of work, if you make a mistake, you're probably not going to go to jail for it. But an officer may very well go to jail. Just one mistake, or even if it really isn't a legal mistake, but with this political cloud hanging over us, it's deemed a legal mistake and thrown in jail and charged, and it's horrible. So verse 2 says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Black Lives Matter? That's a misnomer. They don't care about their own people, many, many, many of them. They're burning their own people's stores and homes. Sometimes they're shooting their own people. They're dragging their own people out of cars and smashing their own people's cars. That Black Lives Matter is a total misnomer. Those people don't care about anyone but, verse 2, lovers of who? Their own selves. If they were honest, that's the signs they would be carrying. My own self matters. My own self matters. So get out of my way. They tried to make their autonomous zones, and what did they do? They miserably failed. They became dictators in their own right, didn't they? And they were finally dispersed and dispensed. So they're lawbreakers. Notice 1 Timothy 1:9. That's why the average American is sick and tired of the rioting. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for who? The lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. For who? Murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. There's a certain reason why people are shot by police officers. And 99% of the time, the reason they are being shot by an officer is because the person has committed some crime and is violently resisting arrest. That's why they're shot. If they would just peaceably yield to the officer wouldn't even have his gun out to begin with. So they're lawless. They're criminals. They're breaking the law. They're resisting arrest. But our God, the creator of this world, is a God of order, a God of law and order. Notice in Romans 13, God says, let every soul be subject unto what? the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are what? Ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power. That's why these people are being shot. They're resisting the power. And God says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of who? Of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. You know, police officers are not a terror to good people. Police officers are a terror to the lawless, to the criminals. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to who? Evil, the evil. So they might as well carry around a sign to them, evil lives matter, because that's the way they're acting. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be what? Be afraid. You know what? If someone is afraid of a police officer, most of the time there's a good reason. Because they're evil, not the officer, the person that's afraid of the officer. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God gives government that power and authority to maintain law and order. And those who resist, those who want to protest, those who are crying out to defund the police are clearly anti-biblical in their cry, in their plea. But let's get down now to the truth of the matter. It's not just these rioters, these thugs. Number one, many Americans have been living in riot for years. Notice back in Luke 15. Many Americans have been living in riot for years. This young man in verse 11, Luke 15, 11. Verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So many people are just living for money, for material possessions, and they are living a riotous life according to the scripture. So verse 13, he gathers all of his things together. Now he's got his money, the inheritance. And verse 13, the last part of it says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines riotous as luxurious. That reminds me, a certain female politician, very high in our country, was seen going into a beauty salon out in California, which happens to be against the law right now. And she's only worth something like $97 million, her and her husband. Now, wouldn't you think she could have hired somebody just to come into her own home and done her hair? It's amazing. Luxurious. There was another one I was reading about, a mayor of one of these liberal cities that's engulfed in riots. And this mayor was living in a, what did they say it was? I don't know if it was a $700,000 or $900,000 condo. And it seems the mayor was kind of upset that the rioters finally surrounded the mayor's building. That's what we're seeing going on today. But riotous is living luxurious, wanton or licentious, in festive indulgences, partaking of the nature of an unlawful assembly or seditious. So this luxurious part of it, if you notice with me in Luke 16, not too far away, in verse 19, Luke 16, 19, we find a very similar situation. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared what? Sumptuously every day. This is the exact same thing as we're talking about the young man with his riotous living. Sumptuously in Strong's Concordance is defined as luxuriously. It's the exact same thing. So whether it's the prodigal son taking off with his part of dad's inheritance and living a riotous life, or whether it's the rich man here living a sumptuous life every day, it's the exact same thoughts. The life of luxury with no thought of God. There is a woman down south of Grand Rapids who not too many years ago won a huge lottery jackpot. And she was just living with a man. She wasn't married to him. But anyway, so she wins the jackpot. And when she finds out for sure she's actually won it, she tells her live-in, he's getting ready to go to work the next day, and she says, "You're not going to work. What are you doing? You're not going to work anymore." And so they've built their palaces, and she's built palaces for her kids and everything, and it's like, nobody's going to work anymore. We're just going to live. We got these millions and millions of dollars. That is exactly what we're talking about here. Living a life of luxury with no thought of God. I tell you something, it's not going to take too many years and they're going to be at each other's throats. Because money does not satisfy. I don't care what you build, what you have. Abundance of idleness. Ezekiel 16:49. That's what they're going to face. And they're going to have miserable lives in short order. As we read on here in Luke 16, verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in where? In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in what? Torments. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in this flame." Many Americans have been living riotous lives for years and years and years. They've been living, as they used to say, high on the hog with all of their money, with no thought of God, living in lives of sin. Just like in the state of California, can you believe it? When you think it's gotten to its worst, the state of California just passed a bill that makes the penalty less, or maybe there isn't any penalty, I forget offhand. But now for these sodomites that abuse minors, underage children, now there's the penalty's been reduced or taken away, I forget which, but can you believe it? All that state goes through, the drought, the fires, and they do something like that. They are living riotous lives, shaking their fist at God. I tell you, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Notice with me, if you would, in Ezekiel 16:49. You know what? When we don't have anything to do, they used to say idleness is the devil's workshop. Look at it, Ezekiel 16:49. The Bible says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." What's the first one? Prize. Then what? Fullness of bread. And then what? Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. There's a lot of Americans that fit right into that there. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. And that was Sodom's sin. That's what brought about the sodomy. And you know, in America today, sometimes people are shocked. You know, more and more it's coming out about all these child traffickers. Should it really surprise us? Just think of the filth that's been being portrayed on television and in the movie theater for years and years and years. Who comes up with those storylines? Do they find it from outer space? No, they find them in someone's space up here, don't they? It's some pervert that writes that storyline and plots. It's in someone's mind. Okay, now you have a director that's going to direct such a film. What is going through his mind? What's going through those actors' minds? And now, are we so surprised that some of these big-name directors are sitting in jail right now because of all the crimes they perpetrated against the actors that starred in their own films? Should this surprise us? No, it shouldn't. Hollywood is a cesspool and has been for years and years and years. And yet, that is what is portrayed night after night after night after night on the television and through the cable networks and through online trash. Why are these things continually played? Because people continually watch them. Notice in Matthew chapter 5. Yeah, some people riot in the streets and some people riot in the privacy of their homes. They're living riotous lives. They're living lives shaking their fists at the authority of God. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Who said that? God. God said it. Well, you know what? When someone goes ahead and commits adultery, who are they defying? God. I don't care what you say. You say thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, is it any different than those who are yelling at the police officers and saying all kind of vile words? But look at verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever, what? Looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed what? Adultery with her already in his heart. Who said that? God said that. That's who said that. God. So some people are out rioting in the street and shaking their fists at the police officers and throwing rocks and bottles and bricks at the officers. And other people are rioting right in their own recliners and in their own beds as they watch all this trash on television and online, defying God, who says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, if I'm watching some program where that's going on, some man is being immoral with somebody else's wife, or maybe neither one of them are married. What's going on there? They're breaking God's law. And people say, well, they're just pretending. Oh, isn't that sweet? They're just pretending. Why are people watching them just pretend? Because they're all into it. That's why. They don't look at it as pretend. They look at it as real life. And God says in verse 28, we're not even to look on someone to lust. So obviously we shouldn't be watching that trash. So better be careful while we're condemning the rioters out in the streets, rebelling against authority. Are we doing the same thing in our own homes and hearts? Better not be. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 5. Jeremiah 5:5. I will get me unto the who? Great men. And will speak unto them. For they have known what? So that's who we're talking about. We're talking about the great men who have known the way of the Lord. And the judgment of their God. But these great men, These men who have known the way of the Lord, these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are what? Many. And their backslidings are what? Increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they what? Committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone made after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a what? Nation as this? You think, I just don't understand why these governors and these mayors don't let their police get out there and stop this rebellion. It's amazing that God doesn't strike our nation just off the face of the map and just leave us as ashes, because we're shaking our fist at God by the way our nation is living. Notice in 1 Peter 4, many people are living lives of riot. People that hate what's going on in America are living lives of riot in their own personal lives. 1 Peter 4:3. For the time what? Past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of what? Riot, speaking evil of you. So what God considers as riot is verse 3. Lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. Because he says when you get saved and you forsake all of that, then they, the lost, verse 4, think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Why does God call it riot? Because they are rebelling against the authority of God. That's why. Verse 3, walking in their lasciviousness, their lust, their liquor, their banquetings, their partying. So, what's the answer? Well, the answer to riots is repentance. That's the answer. Go back to Luke 15 with me if you would. Luke 15. The answer to the rioting is repentance and then receiving Christ as Savior. Luke 15, 17. And when he came to himself, you know, if all these rioters would come to themselves, what does that mean? It means, wake up. Come to your senses. What are you doing? You're burning down your own neighborhoods. You're destroying the stores in your own community. What's wrong with you? When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? These people that are going without, you know, many of these people have had a free ride their whole lives. You know what they need to do? They need to get a job. They need to get some ambition. They first need Christ as their Savior. Then they need to get some ambition. Do something. He says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know what the difference is, my young rebel? It's that these people are working an honest day's work for your dad. Your dad, a God-fearing man. And they seem to have bread enough and to spare. Imagine that. And imagine that you're going without. Why are you going without? Because you're a rebel. You're a rebel. That's why. So he came to himself, verse 17. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, what? I have sinned. Against who? Heaven and what? Before thee. You see, when we sin first and foremost against God Almighty. But in the process, whenever we sin, we're going to affect others, aren't we? And so we owe an apology to God, a confession to God, and we owe an apology to those people around us that we've hurt by our sin. You know, if these people that are rebelling and revolting and rioting would humble themselves before God Almighty and ask His forgiveness, and then go around and ask people for forgiveness, all the people they've hurt, make restitution for all the businesses and vehicles they've destroyed. He said in verse 19, "And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You see, part of these problem with these rioters is they want something for nothing. They want control. They're asking for reparations. It's not just that they want police officers to treat them nicely. They want reparations. They want money. They want to be taken care of the rest of their lives and just tell everybody else what to do. Well, that's what they want. Totally contrary to this young man. Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Compassion." God will have compassion on any repentant soul who comes to Him in faith. "Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Now right here, the son could have said, "Okay, well, forget about it. I'm not going to say all those words now." No. Verse 21, "And the son said unto him, Father, I," what? "Have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." True humility. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry." Here is true joyous living. When we humble ourselves and repent, then, verse 23, we can truly be merry. Verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry here. How would you like to take part in a truly joyous party? You know, these people, I read about another situation where they closed down some freeway and they were out. They had cars parked all different ways and they were out just dancing on the freeway thinking they were having a big gay old party. They don't know what a good time is. This whole story here was told because you look back in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is what? Joy in the presence of the angels of God over what? One sinner that repenteth." There is joy in heaven when a sinner repents. But you know what? That joy doesn't just stay in heaven. It goes along with Pastor Jeremy's lesson. You look in verse 24 again. "For this my son was dead and what? He was alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." You see, that joy from heaven, when there's a repentant sinner, that joy that's going on in heaven spills over here too. There's nothing more joyous than to see someone truly repent. You know what? I don't wish any harm at all upon these liberal, ungodly politicians, mayors, and rioters. I don't wish any harm on them at all. What I would wish and pray for all of them, is that they might come to their senses and humble themselves before Almighty God and by faith receive Christ as their Savior. I don't wish for our Supreme Court justices, I wish no harm on them at all. What I wish for them is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The greatest joy to me would be to see those same justices get saved, their lives transformed, and reverse all those bad decisions they've made. Wow, what rejoicing there would be in heaven and on earth. And so, as we are faced with all this rioting, let us ask God to search our hearts. Is there rioting going on in my own life? Am I shaking my fist at authority and going my own way? I'll tell you something, if we're doing that, it will never bring happiness. Never. Never bring peace or happiness at all. But repentance and faith in Christ will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, our nation is so deep in trouble. And yet we read in your word in Jeremiah that the elder men, the men that had known you and your word, had gotten away from you and were in sin. And the whole nation suffered because of it. Father, it reminds us once again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, we understand that it's time that judgment begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Father, I pray that our hearts would be right with you, and there could be a great awakening, a great revival take place. May there be no place in our hearts and lives for riotous living. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.